Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
I'm so thankful that you've joined us today for another episode of Words of Grace. If you'd like to contact us, you can address a letter to us the old-fashioned way by sending that to Words of Grace Broadcast, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or you can simply go to flintriverpbc.org and find a variety of ways to get in contact with us. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Our broadcast today is entitled Obedience and Answered Prayers and comes from the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. This message comes to you from the pulpit of Flint River Primitive Baptist Church, and the message, or at least a portion of the message that I delivered last weekend on the Lord's Day. And the main theme that we consider in our time together in this message is the correlation between our obedience and answered prayers. In other words, if I'm living a life of disobedience, do I expect my prayers to be answered? Now, there are probably several helpful caveats that we ought to give before we dig into this passage together. First of all, as we will emphasize today, our obedience does not bring God into obligation to us, but at the same time, we do find this biblical correlation between the lifestyle that we live and the answering of our prayers, God answering our prayers in the affirmative. Also, it's worth emphasizing that this should not communicate unto us any sort of arrogance or Phariseeism or pietism, But God answers from the throne of grace, even when He gives us what He gives us when we ask, as we live obedient lives to Him. So we don't earn this, and it doesn't make us better than other people. God is gracious. We go to the throne of grace, and He answers our prayers. This passage, 1 John 3:22, reads as follows, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." This statement exists in the midst of a context exhorting us to holiness and to love, but also at the same time, this passage speaks richly of the assurance of salvation. In fact, that statement, verse 22, begins with the word and as you see in verse 21, "If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." I would encourage you to go and to study this passage out in its entirety. And as always, you can follow along with our exposition of this and other scriptures by going to either the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page or the MarchToZion.com YouTube channel. There at MarchToZion.com's YouTube channel, you'll find daily content published in the form of short videos, and you even have access to our most recent radio programs there through the YouTube podcast feature. Here is today's message, Obedience and Answered Prayers. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The primary principle for today, God grants us what we ask for, and there is a correlation between obedience and answered prayers. Again, reminding you of what I said up front, we may be uncomfortable with that correlation, because if your heart is in the right place, you don't think, "Lord, you owe it to me to say yes to what I'm saying. You owe it to me to say yes to what I'm asking from you, Lord. Now, come on, I'm asking. I go to church. I give to the church. I give to the poor. I sing when I'm at church. I pray every day. I read my Bible. I'm doing what God, you tell me to. Now, come on, I'm asking. Where's what I'm asking for?" And we would be right at being uncomfortable in that perspective, because that is not the biblical perspective. That is not the way we are to approach the throne of grace. After all, it's the throne of what? Grace. The throne of grace is where we go when we pray. What is the definition of grace? Unmerited favor. I'm glad you know that. Unmerited favor. The throne of unmerited favor, and yet we go what to it, according to Hebrews 4? Boldly. We waltz right into the throne room of God, reminiscent to how Esther goes into the king's chambers, which she was not allowed in the Old Testament, and say, "King, I need to talk with you." And we boldly go to the throne of grace, upon which is the king, and we find grace and mercy to help in times of need. We can boldly go to the throne of grace. But at the same time, we should not be so presumptuous as to say, "God, I am obedient, so you, I feel like you have to obey." If our heart is right, you and I won't feel like we're as obedient as we ought to be. If my heart is right, I'll be like, "Lord, I don't deserve this, but I'm asking for it anyway." If my heart is right and I'm truly repentant and obedient, then I'm probably not going to pray as much for the selfish things that people ask for anyway, am I? I'm not. It's going to change the way that I pray. My desires and affections will be different. Maybe a different way of saying this, though. There's a correlation with our obedience and God answering our prayers. Maybe, putting it in the negative would be a better way for us to understand it in humility. And so, if I am living in rebellion to God, I should not expect Him to answer my prayers. Maybe a way that we could understand it a little better would be to say, if I'm living in rebellion to God, then I shouldn't expect God to give me what I ask for in prayers. Now, here's the gracious and merciful and miraculous thing. There are times that you're living in rebellion to God, and you throw yourself down on your knees and you say, God, I am a wretch. I'm not doing what you tell me to do, but this is terrible and scary, and I'm so sorry for what I've done, but please help me. And you know what God does? He doesn't say, you know what, 10 years you've spent wandering away from me. You've not done a thing that I've told you to do, and here you are. You know what he says to his little child so many times? I give you what you ask for. You know why? Because it's, again, the throne of what? Grace. That means that even when we don't deserve it, because we never deserve it, he answers our prayers. But I shouldn't expect it if I'm living a life of rebellion to God. I've got an old preacher story here. This is one that I remembered from Armand Rich years ago. He was telling a story in a sermon one time about a man that he had seen eating breakfast in, I believe, Hardee's. Now, most of us here are young in our congregation, but back in the day, older men would go sit and drink coffee in fast food restaurants and eat a biscuit and fix all the world's problems on, you know, each and every day of the week. Old men liked to do that. They liked to go sit and enjoy breakfast. Armand was there eating one day, and he told the story of a man that he saw that went up to the napkins. Now, these are free napkins. And he just loads up his bag with napkins. I mean, he puts a week's worth of napkins, 2 weeks' worth of napkins in the bag. Now, they're free. He could take them. They weren't going to arrest him. But is that ethical? Maybe not. That man loads up the bag with napkins. And I remember Armand was in a sermon about prayer, and he said that that man then went and sat down at the table and returned thanks over his biscuit. And so the man, after loading up with the free napkins, then says, Lord, please bless his food for the nourishment of my body. And I can remember Armand saying rather colorfully, that man's prayer didn't get through the ceiling of that Hardee's. If I'm doing something that is in violation of God's word, I shouldn't expect, to quote old brother Armand, my prayer to get any higher than the ceiling above me. That's a pretty powerful point that the dear brother made. Let's do a little bit of searching of Scripture this morning about the concept of prayer and the fact that it is effectual. And this will be more like speed round to the end of the message. But I want you to understand that God hears your prayers. God answers your prayers. Now, do I think if you're disobedient, they bounce off the ceiling as if there's some sort of an invisible bubble over you? No. In reality, what happens is if I'm living like the devil and I'm asking God to give me stuff and I'm maybe I'm squandering what he does give me, what really happens there is that God says no. It's not like my sins create a force field over my head and my prayers bounce back down. It's that I ask, and God might not be inclined to hear me. He may say, no. There might be times, let's just get real and practical and medical with it. If I live in a certain way that brings health problems to my life, maybe by abusing my body in some ways, maybe through drugs or alcohol or the usage of tobacco, and I do this throughout my life, never caring what happens to me because you're addicted to it, you enjoy doing it, whatever, and you come to the end of your life and you've got one of those diseases. Lord, please fix this cirrhosis. Lord, please fix this emphysema. Do you think God's going to say, you know what, you're right, let me just undo 80 years of abuse simply because you asked? Well, there's a principle in the Bible called reaping what you sow, and sometimes that happens, maybe if not for our own understanding, but for the understanding of those that are around us, to not do the same thing. So there is a correlation between answered prayers and behavior patterns. Sometimes people who are believers in the sovereignty of God assert that prayer doesn't actually change anything, but it is therapeutic to us and it brings our will in conjunction with what God would have done in the world. But I want you to understand that the Bible says that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things, reality, what takes place in the future. Now, God is sovereign. He knows all things. He knows that you'll ask Him before you ask. He knows what he's going to do when you ask him before you ask, and he answers. And we can't understand the mind and purpose of God. Who's been his counselor? You? Not me. But prayer impacts reality. Prayer changes things. That perspective would be fatalistic determinism, that everything has been so scripted that nothing we do has any choice to it, but God does no damage to the liberty of the creature. Let's look at a few principles. First of all, James 4, verses 1 through 3, and three of these verses are going to be from James. By the way, this chapter, 1 John and James, goes so hand in hand, I have a hunch that John read James, which is probably the earliest of the epistles, before writing 1 John. That's no surprise to anybody that New Testament writers read other New Testament writers. Because Paul quotes the book of Luke. Luke was with Paul for much of his ministry. He does so in Timothy, saying, "The workman is worthy of his reward." That's a quotation of the book of Luke. Peter quotes Paul and says that he writes of things that are hard to grasp sometimes. These New Testament writers read the other writings, and it was buried in their heart. Have you ever noticed the similarities between 2 Peter and Jude? It's the exact same outline. Follows the exact same pattern of thought. One probably read the other, and the Holy Spirit gives inspiration to pen that and to write that. 1 John 3 overlaps over the book of James so many times, I don't believe it's coincidental. In the book of James, chapter 4, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? It's a shame when churches fight, within or without. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, this is a house of prayer for all nations, whose king is the King of Peace, Jerusalem." Salem there literally means tranquility or peace. Shiloh, tranquility, is the name of Jesus. This is to be a place of peace and agreement and love and harmony and fellowship. Fellowship. But sometimes fightings happen. Is this not because of the lust that you war in your members, to paraphrase? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and yet you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. They're arguing and fighting over things that they want, maybe in their own personal lives. Maybe the care of the poor is involved here. Maybe things that the church would be doing as it presses into the future. Let me tell you, churches are never to be stagnant. We are always to be pressing into the future. And that involves projects and things that we get done and burdens that people have. Stagnancy in the church leads to the same thing that would happen to a person that treads water in the middle of a body of water. If you tread water long enough, what happens to you? You tire, you cramp, and you drown. You're to be moving in a direction. Not lukewarm, but moving in a direction. These people lusted and they have not. They killed, they desire to have. I believe killing here means with the tongue. Just like adultery here in James meant in a spiritual sense. Verse 4, for instance. We're slaying each other by speaking bad about one another. You desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight, you war, yet you have not because you simply ask not. You have not. Because you ask not. There are things you could have that you don't have because you simply don't what? Ask. That tells me that prayer changes things because you could have if you would what? If you would ask. God is pleased to hear you and to give you what you ask for if it is in, as we will see in a moment, in accordance with His will. It's not a magic wand. It's not a silver bullet. It doesn't take away all of your problems. Sometimes He answers you and He says, yes, but here's what we're going to do. It's going to be a longer battle. You're going to have to fight more, but I'm going to give you the strength to get through it. It's not always like a genie in a bottle where we rub the lamp and we say, give me the wish and God gives us what we wish for. That's not this story that we have as pilgrims and strangers with Him. First principle is that we have not because we ask not. Second principle regarding prayer. It avails much, it accomplishes much in the world. Verse 13 of James 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Twice this week, we don't have as many hospital visits here at times because our congregation's relatively young. We had a couple of hospital visits this week, and what we did, we went and we prayed. We went and we visited and we prayed, and that's the pattern that you see here. Prayer saves the sick. That means that prayer does what? It works. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. A praying church is a powerful church. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent prayer avails much. Fervent there implies hot. In other words, when you pray, you're not kind of like, I guess, Lord, if that's something that you want to do, I guess I have to ask you for this. I mean, I've tried everything else. I might as well. James begins with the warning, let not that man, the double-minded man, think that he's going to get anything that he prays for. But to fervently pray, to cry out before God, God hears and God answers. Which brings us to the next point. We should pray recognizing that He will answer if it is His will. James chapter 4 and verse 15. Regarding people who say, we're going to go into a city, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. I'm tempted to make comments about politicians in each party, about the promises that they make. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or do that. And so, as John would say also in his book, God answers our prayers if they be in accordance with His will. If it is His will to answer, then God will answer. And I'll say that He will answer not only in His own way, because sometimes it might be a little different than what you specifically ask for. He also answers your prayers, if it is His will, in His time. Now, when you pray, you want it to be answered about halfway through the word Amen. He gives it in His time, if it is His will to do so. Now, here's something that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of us. If it is His will to grant, then that is good. But if it's not His will to say yes, His will is better. Even though it might not be more pleasant for us personally. If it was His will to say no, something else is my agenda in the world, that was better. Because His will is always better from His perspective. And so to that we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In fact, let's turn over to the book of Matthew 6 very briefly and notice this from the model prayer as Jesus teaches to pray. He says several ways not to pray. Don't pray like the hypocrites wanting to be seen of men. Don't pray like the people who give vain repetitions thinking that they will be heard for their much speaking. God knows what you have need of even before you ask, Matthew 6, 8. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prayer begins with praise. Prayer should begin with praise. Thy kingdom come is a petition for God's dominion as far as in worship and the influence of His word to be expanded in the earth. Thy kingdom come. Lord, grow your church. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Whatever it is that you desire to be, that is what we bow the knee to in earth. May we bow our knee to it in earth as it is in heaven. And probably conveyed there is, Lord, may men obey you the way angels in glory obey you. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, here as it is there. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It begins with praise and a petition for God's will to be done in the world. And then it concludes, how? With our needs. And then finally, doxology, another act of praise in this model prayer. According to Matthew 6, 31 through 33, take no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough to worry about in one day, let alone to worry about the next day or the day after. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all your needs, the Father knows you have need of these things, all your needs shall be added unto you. According to Hebrews 13:5, God will never what? Leave you, and God will never forsake you. He will care for you. He will provide for you. Two short points. In our scripture reading this morning, we read what? Psalm 37. Did you hear Psalm 37:4? Psalm 37:4 is a beloved passage to me. And I've seen it play itself out in my life and other lives, not that I claim to be the epitome of the type of thing that you read in Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit that one to memory. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What's our huge caveat on that? If our hearts are framed by the Word of God, the desires of our heart will be inclined to His will. And so what we want will be different than if we were acting in our carnality and in our flesh nature. He gives us the desires of our heart when we follow Him. And lastly, I know this is going to be the case with you because it is with me. You might say, Brother Ben, I don't even know how to articulate what I need. You know the beautiful thing about that is, just try. Because according to Romans chapter 8, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within your heart, makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes when you don't have the words. You've seen the image that gets shared around on social media and it says, Dear God, and all it has are tears dripped on a page. Drip your tears on the page. Because the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered, even when your words fail and you lack the ability to ask God in a way that is sufficient in your mind or coherent.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.